Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Welcome, everybody, to Locked On Lakers. I am Anthony Irwin. We are getting ready for a Monday. A very happy Monday for those of you who are Rams fans. I wouldn't say it was an exciting game, but it was a win. So you got that to go for. What else you have going for you on the show is you have the audio. You can find the show on Audio Booms, iTunes, Silver Screen and Roll, Stitcher, TuneIn, and Today's Fast Break. And if you did attend the game, I would hope that you used SeatGeek. And if you did use SeatGeek, I would hope that you used the promo code LOLakers. But if you didn't, that means for your first purchase using that promo code, moving forward, you get a $20 rebate. So, again, that's LO Lakers on the SeatGeek app. Harrison, you are with the show today. You are probably in better shape than I am after this weekend, I would imagine. I just spent the weekend in Palm Springs, and I feel like this is turning into a trend.
That's debatable. I just did an 11-hour shift in the newsroom. So, you know, who is in worse shape? That's debatable. But what else is debatable is the first topic of our discussion of Lakers point guards today, because the team, all of us at the Locked On Network are doing our team previews this week, and we're going position by position each day. So today's Monday. So everybody's breaking down their team's point guard situation. And I thought that it would be interesting to kind of get your opinion and kind of where you stand on the most important issue facing the Lakers point guards, and that is Jose Calderon or Marcelo Huertas the backup to D'Angelo Russell?
So for most people, you're going to think we're burying the lead and that we should be getting to another topic to start the show. But really, it's about planning. It's about the show breakdown and stuff. But yes, to answer the most riveting question that we will talk about today on the show, Calderon versus Huertas. Calderon, I guess, will be the backup. That's who I would say. And I think it's more because I don't think there's a loss in passing ability. Neither guy is going to be even remotely decent defensively, but Calderon is a better shooter. And that makes him, if all other things are equal, the better player. And if he is the better player, one would think that he'll get the larger role. But it's going to be fluid all season. Those roles are going to be fluid all year.
I actually agree with you, and I'm kind of disappointed because I wanted to argue. So I'll just go devil's advocate here and talk about I think you may be underselling Huertas' passing ability a little bit. Calderon is a good passer, but I think where Huertas kind of has the edge there at this point is that he is a little bit more kind of oomph, get off the dribble, and he can kind of create a little bit more that way. So while I do think that Calderon will end up eventually getting the nod because of his shooting and because that'll allow him to play more alongside Clarkson and Russell and space the floor a little bit in addition to kind of normal point guard responsibilities, I do think that Huertas, he does bring a little bit more to the table off the dribble, and in terms of being able to get to the basket and make a play for guys, that's just not something that Calderon has anymore. And also what Huertas has going for him is I think sometimes if the team is in a little bit of a lull, you need something to pick you up. And nothing is going to pick you up more than him launching a shot from 35 feet backwards because the shot clock's about to run out, or getting his ankles broken because a point guard decided to slowly turn left as he was dribbling up the court. So You know, I think that that kind of stuff, like the team sees a vine afterwards on the plane, and they're just and they get a good laugh out of it, and then that kind of that gets you going into next game.
I was gonna say age would aid Marcelo Huertas, but he's only a year younger than Calderon, so I think they're very similar players in what you hope that they bring on a basketball court. It'd be nice if there was a little bit less, I guess, duplication between between the backups. But when you really look at the Lakers point guard situation, you have, you know, Jordan Clarkson's more of an athlete. D'Angelo Russell's bigger and plays the game at a slower pace and is obviously, I think, the most talented pure point guard of anybody. And then Calderon and Huertas are just kind of ball control game manager types. I'll put this and then we'll kind of move on because again it's Calderon and Huertas.
Yeah, but there's some point guard on the Lakers roster that's a little bit more important than them, but you know we'll talk about him in a minute.
But if God forbid D'Angelo Russell were to get hurt or Jordan Clarkson were to get hurt and Calderon or Huertas had to step up and be the starting point guard, one. On a scale of one to a zillion, that'd be like a zillion on the factor of like most depressing thing that could happen this season. But who would you prefer actually take over that starting spot? Because that's not quite the same question as who fills the backup role.
Well, I think in that case, it's Clarkson. I think you move him over because I think that you want to keep him in the starting lineup. Although, actually, I guess that would probably bring Lou Williams in at shooting guard. Which I don't think anybody, like a starting shooting guard, and I don't think anybody wants to see that Clarkson-Lou Williams starting backcourt, like, just ever again. I think there's just too many bad memories associated with it from last year. Uh-huh. So, I don't know. I mean, if we're talking just Calderon or Huertas, I'm going to go Huertas in this case, because I think that he did some nice things when he kind of stepped into the starting lineup at times last year.
I guess I'm just not as big a fan of Huertas as you are.
Well, I mean, I just made fun of him for being on the wrong end of Shaq and a Fool highlights for like 2 minutes. So I'm not like a huge fan of him or by any means, but I think he's a good playmaker. I mean, obviously he's giving you at less than zero on defense, but I think he had his moments last year. Like he's not I'm not saying he's like a top 30, top 60, whatever point guard. But I think that he has, like, some skills.
Gosh, they're even the same height. They're basically the same person.
They're the same player. It just, like, one of them's a better ball handler, better driver, and the other one's a much better shooter. But otherwise, they really aren't that different.
No. All right, so that does it for the Jose Calderon, Marcelo Huertas conversation that you all knew that you wanted deep down inside.
Yeah, I mean, but this was a crucial issue facing the Lakers, if we're being completely honest.
We had to knock it out right from the get-go, yeah. So we are going to talk about Jordan Clarkson and D'Angelo Russell and the larger pieces of the equation at the point guard position for the Lakers. But before we get to that, like I said at the open of the show, the Rams won a big game yesterday. You guys are going to be listening to this on a Monday. We're actually recording early Monday morning. So no better way to reintroduce Rams football back to the city of Los Angeles than to beat and upset a Seahawks team that I would imagine had a lot of money riding on it. So if you were crazy enough to bet the money line on the Rams and you're feeling even better than you would be otherwise, and you did so legally, hopefully, then you would, I would imagine, really like to look forward to listen to Travis Rogers on the Locked On Rams show talk about the game. So make sure you check out that show. Make sure you check out the rest of the network. And all right, we'll move on to
Jordan Clarkson. I just want to, like I said last week, you should listen to Travis so that you don't have to watch the Rams. But they won today, so maybe now you want to watch them too. You want to listen to the podcast, and you want to watch the Rams. Maybe,
although
maybe watching the Rams is back on the table. I mean, it was a thrilling victory, right? I didn't watch the game. Like, it was a really good one, I assume.
The Rams have more wins this season than touchdowns scored. So that's they got that going for you.
The Rams have not scored a touchdown in Los Angeles in, I think, like,
since 1994.
Years.
Yeah, since 1994. All right. So yes, enjoy the Rams show. And again, Travis is really good at what he does. He analyzes the game very well. So I would imagine everybody likes that. All right. So we'll talk about Jordan Clarkson first. We're really quickly going to hit on Jordan Clarkson, and then tomorrow. For Tuesday's show, we're actually going to talk to Laker Film Room about Jordan Clarkson, because he just broke down some of his defense. So that's going to be a really fun show. Make sure you tune in for that. But for right now, Jordan Clarkson, I guess my thing is, or the question I was going to ask was, like, I just asked about if D'Angelo Russell goes down, who takes over the starting job, right? And I would actually want, you know, either Jose Calderon or Marcelo Huertas to play more of the point guard role to start games, so that Jordan Clarkson has that consistency throughout the year of playing the shooting guard, so that, you know, when D'Angelo Russell hypothetically comes back from this injury, they just pick up right where they left off anyway, right?
It's also going to be really interesting, even like throwing aside this injury that you keep kind of trying to curse D'Angelo Russell with. Mm. I think it's going to be fascinating to see how much more Luke staggers Clarkson and Russell. Because I remember going into the year last year, the common thought was that, you know, you and I talked about it all summer, was, okay, one of those two guys needs to be on the floor at all times so that you're maximizing your possessions. And, you know, Byron Scott, for whatever reason, just decided that was not really something that he was very interested in doing. And, you know, so I think a lot of people have kind of gone away from – Clarkson did start at point guard a year ago as a rookie for basically the second half of the season. And I think that I would like to see them staggered more, and so that you're always having one of them on the floor, because I think they're both such dynamic creators at times that I just think that you want to have one of those two guys on the floor.
I don't know if I would call Clarkson a creator. I mean, he's good at, you know, getting himself opportunities. He's quick enough, and he's actually long enough to get to the basket from his position pretty well for himself, but I don't know if I'm ready to call him a creator for others, which, if they are going to be staggered, that's something that Clarkson will really have to improve on. And the other reason I don't know if they'd be staggered as much as I think you're hoping for is because of the presence of Huertas and Calderon on the team. There's just that there are a few ball handlers at this point that I don't think that's such a necessity for Jordan Clarkson. And considering it doesn't even come naturally anyway, it seems to make sense that, you know, you're not trying to fit a square peg into a round hole, right?
I also think that he's going to get those opportunities at some point, because something that he's been a little bit outspoken about over the summer has been that he's willing to come off the bench. He's willing to do – he keeps saying he's willing to do whatever it takes to make it work in Los Angeles. And so I think if he's coming off of the bench, then that's going to be as the kind of the super sub sixth man, and it would be as kind of the major creator and the guy who the offense is running through. So I do think that we will see some of him in that role at points this year.
But if he's going to the bench, who's the starting two? Lou Williams?
No, I think that we might end up seeing Brandon Ingram there at some point.
At the two?
Yeah.
I don't know if he's – I mean, personally, I don't know if he's laterally quick enough to make that work defensively. But
yeah, I mean,
you know,
he
we'll
might not
know.
Be. I just think that because he's so light right now, I do think that he may end up playing that role a little bit.
Mm-hmm. But that's the shooting guard spot. We'll talk about that a little bit more tomorrow.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would say regarding Clarkson, you know, I just kind of wanted to squeeze him into the conversation a little bit because he could technically play point guard. I just don't know if the Lakers necessarily need that as the roster is currently constructed. We'll move on to what everybody will actually consider the top topic that we should have been talking about regarding point guards in Los Angeles, and it's D'Angelo Russell. And you kind of you came up with how we were going to talk about this, so I'll let you introduce it. As far as you know, what you were hoping to ask regarding D'Angelo.
Well, so I thought it would be interesting because we've kind of talked about all, you know, especially both of us, I think mostly you, have talked about all summer how you don't want to have expectations for anyone on this team and for, you know, the team as a whole. So I thought that it would be really interesting to ask you about your expectations for the team and Russell individually, you know, just to kind of flip things back around. But, I mean... on some level, you have to have an expectation for Russell this year. And so, I mean, for you, what would you consider a successful season for him?
First and foremost, just consistent growth, right? And maturity on and off the court. That is a legitimate question that has popped up way too often from people who I trust way too much to just say, to gloss over the criticism of, he's not the easiest guy to get along with, right? I've heard it now from all kinds of people, and I would like, over the course of this season, to start hearing more about, hey, you know what? He's really taken it upon himself to be more of a leader on the court, you know, to be a coach on the court. So, and that's something, it's intangible. It's kind of hard to prove, but I kind of feel like right now, anytime he's spoken about, anytime people start analyzing his game, the criticism kind of starts there. And if the season goes along and we notice that that criticism starts drifting more towards actual tangible stuff that he's doing on a court, that would, to me, play out as like as a signifier that he is – all right, he's getting – he's putting that behind him a little bit. So that's not really an easy thing to expect, but that's something I'm hoping to watch. But then, you know, and then statistically, he needs to improve his assist rate for being a point guard last year. And it was a bad system, and he wasn't surrounded by the greatest finishers, right? So that affects people's ability to get assists. But this year, I would say in an offense that's going to be basically designed to put the ball in his hands as much as possible, he needs to be efficient, not only scoring, but getting his teammates involved.
I agree with everything that you just said, and I also don't want to gloss over the concerns about his maturity, because that's stuff that I've heard too, and I think at this point, it's almost become a little bit of groupthink. I think a lot of people, that's just kind of become a thing that we talk about when we talk about D'Angelo Russell at times. But I also want to raise the point that you know who else is really difficult to get along with? All 19 and 20-year-olds, especially for adults. Like, they're moody, they're obnoxious, that they do weird things and have, like, new slang and catchphrases that we don't understand. Like, I'm not trying to date myself. I'm only 25. But, like, even me talking to, like, 20-year-olds or whatever in classes that I've taken are, you know, they're annoying. Like, it's you know, like, I mean, I think that that's just a reality that on some level we're kind of getting past. Like, maybe the reason that his teammates don't find him the easiest to get along with is because some of them are in their older 20s and they have this 19-year-old kid coming in and or 19, 20, now he's 20, but 20-year-old kid coming in and acting like a 20-year-old. And that, I think that's going to, just that in and of itself is going to rub some people the wrong way at times.
Right, and it'd be interesting to find out if the, you know, where the criticism is coming from, right? Like, if it's if it's Julius Randle, if it's Larry Nance Jr., if it's Jordan Clarkson, who is having that criticism of like, yeah, I love the guy, but he's not the easiest guy to get along with, right? Like, if that's going on, then he's just straight up annoying, right? But if it is possible, like you're talking about, if it's somebody like Luol Deng saying like, this guy just has way too much energy, he never shuts up, right? I don't understand how his pants can be so tight. Like, those are all things that an older person would say about a younger person, and those could be some of the grumblings.
Yeah, I mean, like, sources, like, teammates think D'Angelo Russell's pants are too tight would be the greatest anonymous report since, like, sources like D'Angelo Russell's teammates don't want to eat breakfast with him.
Right. You know what? Now I'm pulling for that story to come out.
Yeah. To be serious, I think I agree with you that I want to see him show consistent growth. I think you want to see him score. I don't know what it would. Do you think like around 20 points a game is unreasonable, considering it looks like he's going to have the ball in his hands?
Right. There's no concrete evidence that's really saying that we know he's going to have the ball in his hands a bunch. It just kind of seems to make sense that that's the direction the Lakers are going to go in. And so as of right now, if that is the case, then yeah, I would say 18 to 20 would be fair to hope for. And I wouldn't say expect. Like, I wouldn't be disappointed if he only scored 17 and a half points a game. Right. But I'd be excited if I were to find, you know, at the end of the year, he's up there at 23 points a game. And you're saying, wow, that was even more than we hoped for. So, in that range. But the bigger one for me is the assist to turnover ratio. It's the assist rate. That's what I'm hoping to watch from Russell this year.
And of course, the all important belt size to pant size ratio.
Yeah. It's all about the, you know, can we see a single wrinkle on those pants without making it look like they're...
I can't believe you took it this direction. you said 17 points a game wouldn't disappoint you. What would disappoint you for this year?
If it was 13 or so, you know, 12 to 13. I mean... God forbid it's any lower than that, right? But I would say that's at the range that I'm saying it didn't seem like, you know, that would force the Lakers to rethink their offense.
On the panic scale from like 0 to 10, that's a trade him for Okafor, which is kind of the common thing that we get screamed at our accounts this year, I'm sure.
The reason it's so important, I think, that he has some kind of success statistically is, you know, that kind of success, even if it doesn't result in wins, but statistical success tends to get people to, you know, to get away from dumb narratives, right? Cheap, easy narrative. And it only because it provides another cheap, easy narrative. If you just provide counting stats that are easy to look up in a box score, people can say, wow, look at him go, you know? And that's what I would kind of hope for there. How about you? Was I too low there? Would you hope for higher? If he was up at 15 points, would you be a little bummed? Or?
So you're asking me what would disappoint me?
Right. Another Snapchat thing would probably disappoint everybody.
Yeah, well, no, I think I do have that, but I think I got a hot take. It's Monday. I think I feel the hot take coming on.
Oh God! All right, here we go. Here we are. Get ready, everybody. Manage your volume here, because Harrison was heated about this pre-show. So I'm just going to warn everybody: be ready to adjust your volume. Here we go with Harrison's Hot Take Point Guard Edition.
Well, Anthony, what I'm going to tell you for my Harrison's Hot Take is that to be disappointed, you have to have expectations. And I do not have expectations for D'Angelo Russell. I think the Lakers were absolutely wrong to take him over Jahlil Okafor, the Sixers' defensive centerpiece that looks like he's going to be a longtime member of their core and definitely not been in every single trade rumor on NBA.com and elsewhere over the last year. And I just think that Russell is clearly he's a bad teammate, and there's no way that he can live up to expectations. That's right. You heard me. He's a bad teammate. Can I
lob this in there really quick?
Yeah.
You mentioned that they should trade him for Okafor, but I believe Okafor got into a couple bar fights. That doesn't really scream maturity at me.
I mean, it's not my job to do research on what he's doing. I don't see how there's any way that I could know that. But so D'Angelo Russell, and of course, the one thing that comes to mind is – obviously the leaked video that everyone is talking about, and I am, of course, speaking of D'Angelo Russell posting on Instagram that he destroyed Anthony Brown in 2K. Now, this is like, this is the kind of emasculation that your teammates just don't want. Like, nobody wants it put out there on some grainy cell phone camera video late at night that in your house that you're destroying them in 2K, dropping like 40 points and like 9 steals or something as yourself in 2K playing against them, and you're like yelling at your mom that she needs to forgive you, and you know, like that's the kind of thing, like, teammates see that on social media and they're like, you know what, I don't want to play with that guy. He the Foot Locker ad lied to me. He didn't throw a cell phone in the trash or in the ocean or whatever. And I mean, you just, Anthony, bottom line, we saw Kobe here for 20 years and he never trash talked his teammates like this. I just don't know.
Well, I was going to say, like, wouldn't, if Kobe played video games, would he not try to actually murder people on the court? Also, follow up to that question. On a scale, you know, if you were to guess over under 5 times Kobe has tried to score exactly 81 points in 2K, would you go over or under?
I'd go under, because when you've scored 81 points in real life, I don't think you ever pick up 2K again.
Like, that's probably fair.
I don't know that. I don't know how you play basketball again after that, but we're getting away from that. Like, if I scored 81 points, I'd be like, all right, I'm out. That's like, that's good enough for me. I
81 hot takes and you're going to retire. 81, you know, in 30 weeks, you know, 50 weeks or so, you're going to be done with Harrison's hot takes. You're going to retire.
Yeah, I'll be done screaming in people's ear and blowing up exploding sounding effects and stuff. But so anyway, I think expectations are getting way too high for Russell. There are pundits talking about how he may score 20 points a game or so after he just scored 13 last year. And I just think that everyone needs to pump the brakes. I think we haven't seen any evidence that he can even be, like, Byron Scott told us all last year, like, noted talent evaluator Byron Scott just said this guy isn't ready. He's not like a great NBA player yet, and he's not going to help us win, and, you know, other quotes like that. And so I just think people are getting carried away with this D'Angelo Russell hype train. I think there's another Lakers sophomore guard that people should be really excited about, and his name is Marcelo Huertas, and he is the true playmaker that is going to bring titles back to the purple and gold. I think it's pretty obvious.
Titles?
Yeah, titles.
All right, so I wanted to backtrack. So I have two questions again. One, are we counting your mentioning of He Who Shall Not Be Named a second ago as a fine?
Oh, damn it.
So there's one. And then you mentioned that he was a noted talent evaluator, but couldn't I also counter with the fact that he thought Dion Waiters was the next Dwayne Wade?
Yeah, never mind. You just blew this whole theory to hell.
I feel like you lost all your momentum as soon as you realize you're going to get fined.
Yeah, I think you just killed the hot take, man. It's done. You killed. That's all I got.
I'm sorry, everybody. I murdered Harrison's segment, but I'm just excited. I get to send another tweet.
Ugh.
It's going to be great. I got to think of it right now.
I hate you so much.
All right, so that'll do it for this Monday edition of Locked On Lakers. Again, we talked about point guards. Tomorrow we're going to talk about shooting guards, and then small forwards on Wednesday, power forwards on Thursday, and finally centers on Friday. And we are, what, a week and a half away from Media Day. So yeah, we're almost there.
We got some exciting guests coming up for you guys after that. So just, you know, as always, stay tuned to Locked On Lakers.
Absolutely. All right, so we will talk to everybody again tomorrow. Make sure, again, you can find the show all over the place: Audio Booms, iTunes, Silver Screen and Roll, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break. Make sure you're using the promo code LO Lakers, and we will talk to everybody on Tuesday. Have a good one, Harrison.
All right, thanks for tuning in, everybody.
Shouts to Corey Blunt and all that. No, I'm not going to do that.
Do I edit that last part out?
All right. Google Corey Blunt, everybody, and you'll know what I was talking about.
Oh, we're still live. Okay.
Oh, technically, right?